What's up, guys? Welcome into an episode of Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. It's the conference finals in the NBA right now. We are heading into game two tonight of the Mavericks and Wolves. And yeah, I just had some thoughts I wanted to get out as I'm watching the teams that we have left. It's just kind of the cat and mouse game that the playoffs are with adjustments and matchups and just how these teams are constructed. And what seems to really just kind of be trends around the league that work and what doesn't work. And, you know, my conclusion is that the Warriors aren't that far off. No, we weren't in the playoffs at all. We weren't close. But you saw glimpses of it this year. And, you know, obviously playing consistent, playing with energy will just heighten everything. But I feel like just schematically and from a roster construction standpoint, they're not that far off. We're talking maybe two or three moves here. For the sake of today, I'm going to operate under the assumption that we're not making a huge blockbuster move. Ramona Shelburne has already reported that we're not even talking Kuminga trades. And quite frankly, that is what it would take to make a blockbuster move for an all-star. So let's just operate under the assumption that we're not making a huge move. So how do we, you know, make up the margins here and get our team, you know, to be about 15-25% better given what we have with internal growth. And then just, you know, a few pieces that we need to add just to make this more a complete roster that has flexibility, has depth to really operate in a 7-game playoff series and really just kind of exploit matchups and also not get exposed for some of the matchups that we're at a disadvantage in. So I put together 5 things that must happen for the Warriors to get back to being champions again as soon as next season, hopefully. So here we go. Number one, this is the biggest no-brainer here. I think this would be on everybody's list of 5 for the Warriors to make that leap, and that is Jonathan Kuminga makes another leap. And more specifically, I'm talking about shooting. I'm talking about decision-making. I'm talking about playmaking. Talking about defense, which can be decision-making as well. It's just all-around game needs to keep improving in all facets. But most specifically, I'm just going to talk about its offensive game here. So last year, 16 points per game. If the Warriors are going to be champions again, and we're not bringing in some number two score for Steph, and we're just trying to grow internally with small moves, Kuminga must make that leap to be a 20-point scorer. Maybe 19 and a half, you know, kind of replacing what Jordan Poole used to give to us. I think he was about a 19.8, something like that in his final year. But Kuminga needs to become close to a 20-point scorer at the same efficiency that he's at already. I believe he's kind of in the 53-54% from the field efficiency rating. So I expect shots to increase volume-wise, shot selection to get better, and just to become a more efficient scorer, but also raise that scoring up to about 20 points per game. But here is what really needs to make the leap for Kuminga: the assist to turnover ratio. Last year, his assists 2.2 to turnovers 1.6. You know, we're basically talking an even assist to turnover ratio. That's just not going to cut it. We're never going to get a 5 or 6 or more than that assist season from Kuminga. But I need to see a 2-to-1 ratio on assists to turnovers. So whether that's, you know, raising it to about 3 assists per game and your turnovers are about 1.5, which is feasible. I mean, if you're going to be handling the ball a bit more, your turnovers are probably going to stay kind of closer to 2, which I'm okay with if now you're playmaking and you're giving me about 4 assists, which during Kuminga's best run of the season, late January and into February, when he was on a tear scoring close to 20 points a game, he was up above and near 4 assists per game. And that's when the Warriors were humming. That's when his confidence was strong. He's making good decisions and the Warriors were winning games. Lastly, with Kuminga, and this is another no-brainer, the shooting, just from the outside, 3-point shooting must get back to how he was a little bit earlier in his career. I don't know what the true normal is for Kuminga, but in his second year, he shot 37% from 3. 2.2 attempts per game. I could be wrong on that, but 37% from 3. Last year, it dropped all the way to 32% from 3. And keep in mind that these are usually open threes, which are okay for him to take, but you need to be shooting at least 35-36%, just if nothing else, to provide some spacing. If we're looking at this team as currently constructed, and Kuminga is essentially playing the three, where Draymond's at the four, and hopefully TJD or another big, which we'll get into soon, is playing the five. Kuminga needs to be in that closing lineup. He needs to be in your best lineup of five. And when the Warriors decide to go big, they decide to go defensive. He needs to provide spacing from the outside. So I need you, Kuminga. You don't have to get to 37% again, although it'd be nice, but you need to at least shoot 35.5% to 36% from three to keep defenses honest. And that's just going to open up the rest of your game, and that's going to get you to your checkpoints of 20 points per game, and then your 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. So, number one, Kuminga, continue to make the leap. You're entering your year 22 season. It's a lot of players have made that leap. The athleticism's there. We see all the glimpses. Now, you can no longer be a raw player that's just an athlete. You need to be an intelligent, high IQ player that also is explosive. Okay, number two. Again, not going to surprise anybody with this one. The Warriors need to add a big. It needs to be a shot blocker. I'm thinking it at the most medium level, it needs to be what Trayce Jackson-Davis provides, but he can't be 6'9". It needs to be a 6'11", 7-footer that can block shots. He's a threat to block and alter any shot inside the paint. He can rebound, and it just needs to be a physical force that can hold up when we're playing teams like the Timberwolves, like the Nuggets, so that Draymond Green is just not getting fatigued and worn down. One of the things that the Warriors were extremely impressive with this year is rebounding, but at what cost is my point? They led the league in rebounding, but playing so small, think about how much energy and just physical just beating it takes to rebound at that high a clip. And that's why you saw the Warriors kind of burn out at the end. Aside from Steph being tired, the rest of the team was really just pretty fatigued and gassed down the stretch. I think the effort, which I appreciate, rebounding and on playing defense, it does take its toll. So get a big body in there. Give me some rim protection, bails out your perimeter defense when that collapses. A rim protector solves all. You look at the success the Warriors had when TJD entered that starting lineup. A lot of success. I mean, he's as good a shot blocker as you need, but again, he's just entering his year two season. There's a lot of other holes in his game that could leave a little bit to be improved. I love TJD, but we need that big banging body in there, a 7-footer that can provide much of the same and some vertical spacing as well on offense. Look at the teams that are in the playoffs or are still in the playoffs right now. You have the Timberwolves with Gobert. We're talking shot blockers right now. So Gobert, obviously the premier shot blocker in the league. Mavericks have Gafford, who I wish the Warriors had gotten. He would have been a perfect fit for the Warriors. The Pacers have Miles Turner. The Celtics, although he's hurt, have Porzingis, and then Horford can block shots. They don't have as an elite rim protector as the other teams, but they still have a presence at the rim. And that is the key to having a great defense. Draymond Green, most versatile, high IQ, best defender of his generation, in my opinion, even at that center spot. But he's not quite the vertical rim protector that these guys are. And I honestly think Draymond is at his best defensively when he's able to play the four. So, shot blocker protects the defense, saves fatigue. The caveat here, though, is you add another shot blocker. What is that going to do to the shooting on offense? We just talked about it. If you have your five, whoever the center is, whether it's TJD, it's a new center. Draymond Green's going to be in there at the four. Kuminga must play. He's at the three. Where's the shooting going to come from in the front court? Again, take a look at the teams that are in the playoffs still. As far as front court shooting, you have the Timberwolves, who have arguably the two best shooting centers in the league in Kat and Naz Reid. You have the Celtics. I mean, they could rival the Timberwolves. You have Horford and, when healthy, Porzingis. The Pacers have Miles Turner, who that's all he really does in offense is shoot threes. So that's the recipe. If you need a shot blocker and you need a stretch five or stretch big here on most teams to really compete, and that's where you're really unlocking the best lineups. The Warriors do potentially have that in Draymond Green. It's unorthodox, but like I said, Draymond Green is a center, can guard centers, and Draymond Green shoots 30s. I mean, last year he shot 39.5% from three. We're not going to expect that again, but if Draymond can shoot 37% from three, which is above his career high, his career averages, I want to say he's like a 35% three-point shooter, which is still decent, but shoot 37%. Now you're not quite getting spacing, but you're at least being a shooting presence out of the front court. And I think he made close to one three a game. That's a big 3 points every game we're going to get if Drake can continue to space the floor and shoot anywhere above 37% from three. So I know that's kind of a broad must happen for the Warriors, but I guess to sum it up, Warriors need to add a big that can shot block and can take some pressure off of Draymond. And then whether it's that big that we add or it's within, the front court needs to shoot, and somebody of one of our four or our five must be able to space the floor as a shooter. Okay, number three. This is the one that gives me optimism because we just need what's normal to happen. We need Steph Curry to return to being the efficient scorer that he is. He needs to return to form. And again, this is what I'm optimistic about. His shooting percentages, if we're just going to look at field goal percentage, he attempts 20 shots a game. So every percentage is big when your leading scorer, his efficiency rating. So last year, Steph Curry only shot 45% from the field. Previous year before that, he shot 49.3%, had a great season. It's the difference between last year, he only scored like 26 points per game, and the year before he's scoring 29 points per game. I know that's not necessarily mathematically the percentages, but it's just the opportunity and it's the efficiency. Curry needs to return to form with his shooting. Here's the stat where you can really see where Curry dropped off. It's his 2-point attempts from the field. 51% on 2-point attempts from the field last year. His career numbers are 58% on average in the two on 2-point attempts. I thought Curry didn't finish very well last year. There was, man, about 3 years ago, Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, I was like, these two, they finish at the rim and around the rim better than anybody else, which still might be true, but they're just, in the same breath. Watching, game one of the Mavericks game earlier this week, and then Curry's past season, that's no longer a conversation. Kyrie Irving is the best of a finisher for a guard in the league. Steph Curry, hopefully you're still number two, but he missed some ones that he makes at a much higher clip and pass. Gotta get the finishing down. The float game has kind of disappeared on him. The Steph Curry float game was one of the prettiest things you saw earlier in his career. I'd like to see a little bit of that come back. He did get a little more aggressive in the mid-range, which might be why the percentage came down a little bit. And I've been a big advocate for him settling into that mid-range just to make sure he's getting enough shots. So continue to shoot that mid-range. Let's see if we can raise efficiencies a little bit more and just kind of get you back to at least being, 56, 57% from that 2-point shot. And then lastly with Steph, more so than just the shooting, but just kind of the overall offensive game, his assists were very down last year. It's not necessarily his fault. It's kind of stylistically this way this team was devised. It's usually on average, he is a 6.4 assists per game player. Last year it was 5.1. Having Chris Paul in there obviously, took the ball out of Curry's hands so he could play off ball a little bit more, be a shooter, be a scorer. It didn't really reflect in his scoring averages like we just talked about. I don't expect Chris Paul to be back next year, and we're going to get into that replacement and ball handling in a second. But how can we get the ball in Curry's hands more where he's playmaking, but we're not fatiguing him as much? The other stylistic part that was a little bit of trouble for Steph's assist numbers is that he got trapped more than ever before coming off pick and rolls. It's just immediate trap, two guys to him. And what used to be the releases, he's kicking it to the roller and we're playing 4-on-3 and he's getting the hockey assist, but it's a much more efficient offense. This year, without a great second option, without really the surrounding cast to make them pay for that, Curry got trapped even more than usual because the defense wasn't as concerned about paying the price from our back-end players. And so for that reason, Curry just didn't have as much room to operate with, and in turn, his scoring, his assist numbers were down. Makes sense. So number three, Steph Curry, play a little better. That should be a Any of these things, that's the thing I would bet my bottom dollar on happening most, is that Steph Curry will continue to be a superstar and even better than last year. Number four, find a second primary ball handler slash playmaker. I'm not talking about Draymond Green playing traffic cop at the top of the perimeter. We need somebody when, not only when Steph Curry's out, but when Steph Curry wants to be off ball, we need someone that can play make, handle the ball, but more importantly, put the defense into rotation. I need somebody that can operate in the pick and roll as the primary ball handler, use a screen, and now you're in an advantageous situation where you have the defense on their heels, they're rotating, and then you can make them pay with your elite shooting. It's what Luka Doncic does every single possession. You see it, all these teams outside of the Warriors and their motion offense, which I like. It's gotten them to where they are. But all these teams just run pick and roll, if not ISO, if their guy's that good. But pick and roll and create advantages, create mismatches. And that's how you're going to get to much better shots on offense, better possessions, and in the aggregate, higher field goal percentages. The Warriors don't have a guy that can do that. I mean, at best, it's been Klay Thompson operating as the ball handler with TJD as the roller, which is, you know, they're playing together for maybe 10 minutes a game. And this, the whole Klay option really only emerged like towards the end of the season. So continue to do that. But Klay Thompson's not a primary ball handler in pick and roll. Andrew Wiggins sure can't. When's the last time you saw Wiggins as a primary ball handler, you know, making a pocket pass or splitting the defenders? That doesn't happen. Moses Moody, I'm talking about the wings here especially. Moses Moody, not a ball handler, doesn't operate that way. Jonathan Kuminga, the IQ isn't there yet. It did work with Kuminga using a Curry screen just so Kuminga can get downhill and be a scorer, but he's not playmaking off of that. So where do the Warriors find a second primary ball handler? Pajemski is the first candidate, especially internally, you know, unless we're going to go get somebody else. Pajemski, backup point guard duties may fall to him. He's good as a combo guard. I don't know if I see him as a true primary pick and roll ball handler. He just hasn't done it too much. He is a good passer. He is a good connector, but in different ways than basically like what you see with, you know, like a Jaylen Brown, a Kyrie Irving, you know, your number two guy that when your star needs a breather, that number two can just get into a good shot using a pick and roll or just creating space for himself. Pajemski is not that. No one else on the Warriors is that. That is what the Warriors need to go find, I believe, in free agency. If you can find somebody that's, who's like a good example here? Gosh, I don't even have a good one now, to be honest. But you need to find a combo guard, or if you're going to pay big money, find a wing that can play make. And from there, now you have a little bit cooking, and your team's a lot better on offense. You saw it with the Warriors the last 2 years. We had combo guards in Chris, or sorry, had playmaking guards in Chris Paul. We had Jordan Poole, who could be the second primary ball handler. The problem is on the defensive end. When you want those guys in playing in conjunction with Steph Curry, the defensive end is exposed. We're just too small. You have the lack of perimeter point of attack defenders. And, you know, this league, the guards are so good, it just collapses the defense. Maybe having an extra rim protector there would help and kind of solve that problem. So we can play two small guards. But again, the problem is you need a ball handler that can also hold their own on defense. I've heard rumors, you know, Zach LaVine, Donovan Mitchell, for making a big move like that. I think it would still be the same problem. You fix the offense, but defensively, it's just a Curry Mitchell defense. It's not good enough to be championship level defense. Okay, so four, find that second primary ball handler / playmaker. Lastly, we talked about this a bit in a past couple episodes, but somebody has to emerge as a two-way wing. The Warriors have too many one-way players, not enough people that you can just plug and play just automatically in the closing lineup, automatically in your best five. Klay Thompson used to be that. Now he is a good offensive player, and he is a mediocre defensive player. He's not a two-way player anymore. Wiggins used to be that, but the offense has disappeared. The handle on offense and playmaking is just, it's not even NBA level. So Wiggins, the defense, I'm still okay with your defense, although it's not quite what it was back 2 years ago, but your offense has to get back, and you need to start becoming an offensive presence again. I'm going to hope Wiggins and Kuminga can kind of be those wings. But again, we'll see. Chances are it's going to be very inconsistent like we saw all last year. Moody, Pajemski. Pajemski, the offense needs to get a little bit better. The defense is good, but he's undersized. He overhelps, but he obviously draws the most charges in the league. He is a good help defender, but you can't overhelp. So I'd say, despite Kendrick Perkins giving Pajemski a vote for second team all defense in the NBA, the only Warrior to get an all defensive vote, Brandon Pajemski. I don't even know what Perk's watching. Just looks at the charging stat. But anyways, I wouldn't have voted Pajemski in as a defender to the all team, all the defensive team, and I don't think you would either. So Pajemski improving on both sides, but you never know. I mean, I believe in this kid enough to think that he could end up being a consistent closing five two-way player. Moody actually might be have the most upside to become a two-way player just because the jump shot's pure, even though he only shoots 34 to 36%. Like, I would not be shocked if Moody started shooting 38% from three, started averaging 12 to 14 points per game. And then that length on defense, he's a very good hustle player on the defense end, especially. So Moody, I guess this would be pointing at you. If you can make the leap and become a good two-way reliable player, eating 25 minutes per game, maybe finishing the game, mini nights, that would solve this. We just can't have any more of this rotating closing lineup where you're just going with whoever's been playing well in the first half, and it's any different combination of players on any given night, and you're exposed for some weakness or another. We need consistent 3-and-D production. Any extra playmaking from there would be a bonus. But number five, and this could be the most important thing to me, we need to either have someone emerge internally as a two-way wing, or we gotta go out and get one. I'm not gonna get into how we have to do that or what the GMs of the world must have to do to get this going, but it just has to happen. So these are the five things that the Warriors must do, and if they happen, Kuminga makes the leap. We add a big. Curry returns to form. We find a second primary ball handler playmaker, and we have a two-way wing emerge. Those five things, you will see me here a year from now in the conference finals, up whatever, two games to none, because that's the point it is, and you will see me referencing back to this video saying, I told you this was going to happen. It had to happen. And here we are, chasing thumb rings, baby. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to me ramble about what must and will happen for the Warriors. Until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.